Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap. Say, be not weary.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Hello, welcome back once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you're listening to an internet program to inform you, to challenge you, and to encourage you to be all you can be in Christ. We're in for a great time this morning. We have a good topic this morning, a very worthwhile topic here. And it said, let's stop the violence. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. But maybe we can interject some thoughts. Maybe we can interject a different mindset. Let's stop the violence. Violence is running rampantly here in the United States. And regardless of where you are, we're subject to violence at every turn. But yet, there's men that's in place to help speak life into our young men, sir. There's men that's in place to make a difference in our life. For our young men, as you log on to the program, you'll see a template that says, help change a life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. But maybe the things that we went through, maybe what we faced, you know, and we became overcomers can help change the life of a young man or woman. And right at this time, I'm going to introduce our co-host to you, and he's going to come on and say a few words. Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
How you doing, Deacon Lewis?
I'm doing great, man. Welcome to our program, man. We went for a great time this morning. We have our guests
man,
that's on
I'm
the line.
Oh man, I'm just like a man. I'm full of energy today. I'm ready to talk about this subject, man. And this subject that I've been hearing about, man, about gun violence, man. I think that's a very serious issue in our country today, man, because. You know, today I was watching TV, last night I was watching TV, you know. I think the city of Chicago, man, is so full of gang violence and shootings, and, man, it's a terrible place to bring a family up in, you know, because really, you know, in fact, it's running around with all these people killing each other, they got kids in the middle of it.
You're so right, you're so right. And you know, brother, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We have our guest on the line here. He dropped out of here. We're going to see if we bring him in here in just a few minutes here. And so just kick back and relax, and we're going to bring you into the conversation.
I'm on, Brother Joe.
All right, great. God bless you. I see you dropped out, but thank you very much, man. I'm glad you hung on in there. Hey, bro, introduce yourself and tell us about the program, the ministry you're involved in to help change the life of our young men.
Yes, my name is Sean Griggs, and I have Back to the Block. And I'm out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, that's powerful. You know, sure, I saw that video. Matter of fact, we didn't share that video down here in Dallas, Texas, man, in our youth department because I do a youth ministry here. And our young men were captivated by it, man. And some of them said, hey, I want to change my life. Man, when you put together this video, man, what were you attempting to do?
Well, that's what it was for, to change someone's child's life from being out in the streets to help teach them that you can live on the block, but you don't have to be of the block.
And you know, that is so true. That is so true, man. Because as I go down to the juvenile jails and centers, man, our young men, they're struggling with identity, man. They're struggling with self-worth, man. They're struggling with a future, bro. Speak on those things.
Well, bro, Joe, the first of all, a man without a future will soon return to his past. So if you don't have anything you're looking for, you're going to always return back to what you always have done. That's the violence and all that. And by those guns, bro, Joe, it's everywhere. And what we want to try to do is help give someone some hope. Because if you don't use your mind, you don't have to use that nine if you use your mind.
Yeah, that's so true, brother. That is so true. Now, we're here in Dallas, man, but we know the same thing that plagued our young men here in Dallas are plagued where you are also, man. The violence is running rampant there, man, but our young people say, man, I don't know what tomorrow holds for us, man. Can you
address
those issues of how our young men need to have a future?
Well, you have to what they have to do, bro Joe. You have to change your surrounding and the people that you call your friend. Because see, once you get up from that video game, you can restart that. You know, doing the shooting and all that. And so, sitting around, you got to be able to do something, and that's get out to know where you want to go and what you want to be in life. Because if you don't, that's where they get stuck at, and the hope they lose is hope. And today, bro Joe, where they running around here with these guns and shooting and killing people, they don't fear anything. And when you don't fear God, you lost and you dead anyway. And so that's what we got to do. And some of us who have been there and done that can be able to talk to them to give them some kind of hope to let them know that God still lives and he still delivers.
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Hey, Sean, tell us a little something about your background. So give us a good foundation so we'll know that you know what you're talking about, brother. Because some people, man, I just know.
Well, bro, Joel, I was sentenced to 18 years in the federal government for dealing drugs. Dealing drugs and being in the same situation. And so what I had to do once I came back home, I just got different surrounded. And I got plugged in a church. And it wasn't easy, bro, Joe. You know, it wasn't easy, but I wanted to change. And that's where it first started. You have to want to change. And once you make that decision, then everything else starts to play.
And as you were saying that, so you're accustomed to the violence that comes along with the drug. People just think, they just think they see the money and stuff, but there's a lot of violence underneath all that, man.
It's definitely because the ultimate price that the streets want is your life. You know, you don't really have to worry about the police. It's the robbers and everyone else that you have to deal with. And then the same person that you grew up with, you end up killing them because of you want to protect your drugs, you want to protect your block, you want to protect your street and stuff like that. And that's when it really gets out of control where you lose who you are.
You're so right. Occasionally at the juvenile department, let us show some video for Sideshow. It's one called American Gangster, where they show how people that grew up on the street and how they live that lifestyle, man, and it cost them some time. And we have young men that are 23 years old, man, that's serving three times their life, their age sentences, man. And that's a proven fact there, you know. But what... as you talk to young men and as you talk to older men, what do you have a sense that they're wrestling with?
They're wrestling with their identity, that they don't know who they are. And see, when I was coming up, Brother Joe, that same thing applied to me because I used to run around with a 357 Magnum to protect my drugs. And one day I walked into this old guy house, old school house, and He said, Sean, you tote that big old pistol. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, if you fire that thing and don't mean to fire, can you call that bully back? And one thing, bro, that changed. I lay down that night and I changed my whole thinking of that. And when I got incarcerated, that's the thing that they didn't find was that gun, bro, Joe, because I had put it down because I didn't need it to do business. When you need the gun to do business, you're doing the wrong business.
Yeah, you're in the wrong business. And plus, you know, that's more time if they had you with a concealed weapon, man.
Yes,
you know,
sir. Yes,
more
sir.
Time. A lot of people don't, a lot of our young men, they don't realize it because if they go down to the juvenile, I'm going back to the juvenile, you know, they thinking that that's the way life is going to be. You know, they get a little old card and get some meals and people trying to treat them like a baby. But when you're a child, you get treated like a child. But when you become a man, you got to put away those childish ways and that childish lifestyle and being treated like a man. And I tell them, I said, man, I seen guys strip naked in the courtyard in the middle of December and left them standing there because of one person's disobedience. And that's what sin do, man.
Yes,
sin not
it
only
does.
Bring you down, but it brings your family, because you hurt your family when you're incarcerated. You hurt your family when you're on life support. You hurt your family, man, when you're on the run.
Well, you know, Brother Joe, what they fail to realize is they got something called the federal government. And they do not play. You can be under the rock out in space. They're going to come get you, sir.
And that is so true. And they will not stop. You know?
They will not stop. They will take everyone down. They just don't care. The federal government don't care. When the federal government get on, you're going to know you in trouble.
Oh, that is so true. Hey, we have our co-host on the line here. Why don't you just hold on a minute, catch your breath here. We're going to bring them in. Then we're going to bring you back, man, because we definitely want to continue this here conversation, man. Let's stop the violence.
Okay.
Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
All right, then. Did you hear what Sean had to say, man? That was powerful, brother.
I heard what he said. I got a question I want to ask.
Yeah, go right ahead. He's on the line.
Okay, Brother Sean, what part of Atlanta are you from now?
I'm from the west side over here in Atlanta.
Okay, can you describe some of the things be going on and what bad spot and what's the hot spot and you know what I'm saying?
Brother, it all the spots are getting bad. It ain't no good spots no more unless you go to Buckhead and up in Buckhead it's getting bad too in the clubs and everything. So you know, all the young people think on the corners of the stores, all the stores are being taken where they standing out, you know, doing they thing, you know. So all the spots, I think everywhere are getting hot.
Okay, now I want to ask you a question. What age did you get your first gun, man?
Man, I got my first gun, man, wow. Like it's probably 13.
And who gave it to you?
Well, the streets did. You know, standing out on the corner, you know, walking, you know, on the corner. Looking at them, thinking that that was the future that I wanted. But then, you know, that wasn't a good choice. And so, you know, brother, as well as I do, you know that it's so easy to get a gun. It's just like going in the store buying candy.
And that is so true. That is so true. You know, because you hear about little kids, man, in the first grade with a gun. You know, I said, man, and then they take it to school and they going to do something with it. Man, where that mindset even come from, though, Shell? You know, I'm just saying that, you know. Just
well, you know.
But well, that's crazy,
you know,
though, man.
It goes back to what I said, sitting down watching, playing video games. Because, see, you can reload that after you kill that person. But in your mind, as you sitting with your rap music on, also now, because some of it, we don't know what they're saying today. You know, so when they listening to that and playing the games and smoking the blunt and drinking the 40, you know, all you know, you have no hope then. You just this is who I am. This is what I want to be. And then you get up and walk away, and then you go react to someone who said something to you, like me or that brother on the phone who's trying to help somebody. Then you know what they call that today, Brother Joe? They call that disrespecting them, that we don't know.
Yeah. And you know, Sean, when I was growing up, man, it was quite a different era, man. The mindset that drive-by was a cowardly way of doing things, man. I wouldn't drive by your house and shoot up your grandmama, your little nieces and nephews. If I had a problem or a beef, I'd take it out with you, man. But today, young men, people they have no respect, man, for life.
You know, it's very strange that this morning, you know, I was thinking about this, the panel, and guess what came on? Colors came on, Bro Joe. And I watched Colors with the gangs, you know, in L.A. with the Bloods and the Crips and all the Diablos and all that, and I'm watching this. And what came out of that was death because of a color. And now,
man,
today, we're fighting over territory and the same thing, color.
Yeah, and the territory never could be yours. You know, you don't own no block. You just standing there. Somebody come right out there like a water hose and wash you off, man. Somebody else take over. So it's just
okay,
that mindset, man.
And it's just like the prison, a revolving door. Somebody else want to be the big man, they're going to take this man out. And the killing don't stop until somebody say, okay, hey, we got to do something different.
You know, man, you hit a point about the videos in the movies, man, because I had a friend one time, and when Scarface came out, you know, many years ago, that was a, to me, that was a great movie, man, but I did not want to emulate the character because at the end, he died. You know?
Yeah.
He died, man.
Blew his back out.
Yeah, I want to do something with life. And, man, my friend, man, he actually took on that character as Tony, man, in Scarface. And I couldn't believe it. I said, man. He said, man, call me Tony. I'm not going to call you that. You know, but it's just the idea that sometimes, man, we look at these movies for entertainment, but some people want to live, look at it as a lifestyle.
Yeah, they get caught up, sir. They get caught up.
And, you know, and so we have to tell our young men that, you know, that these things are just temporal, brother. You know, what did profit the man to gain the whole world? The money, the honey, the car, and lose his soul.
And lose his soul. Yes, sir.
And lose his soul. And, you know, I share with our young men.
Man, homeboy question, too.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Do y'all believe
there's
such a thing as a studio gangster?
Huh?
What's that, Brother Daniel?
Is there such a thing as a studio gangster?
Is there such thing as a studio game?
Gangster, yeah.
Well, you talking about them being in the studio trying to become rap gangsters. That's what you're saying, brother?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, and see, that's where a lot of them hang out, too. That's where it starts, too, brother. You're right on that. It starts there, too, because we have a little studio, you know, up the street where a lot of kids was hanging out and wasn't going to school. And they had to move that studio, too, because that's the school that they wanted to go to instead of getting the knowledge of education first. But they didn't want that. They wanted what they see. But it's a price to that.
It's a price to the brother.
Just hold on to that thought, sir. We got another call on the line. Hey, you two can join in the conversation. That number is 310-982-4126. We're talking to Sean from Atlanta. We're talking about Let's Stop the Violence. It's a great topic. We're going to bring in another guest here. We got a couple of guests on the phone line here. Hello, you're on Blog Talk Radio, free on the inside. Will you repeat that?
All these kids are in one setting, and everybody got their own little things going on.
Right. No, I understand that. We got a bad a line here that you're on here. So I understand. I think you're saying that everybody got their own thing going on. So I see the caller dropped out. Here, we got another caller here on the line here. We're going to bring them right in.
Not a question.
Good morning. You're on the net. Good morning, you on Blog Talk Radio?
Got a phone in his pocket.
All right. I guess the caller just want to listen in. You do have a choice just to listen in the conversation. You can join in the conversation. You have two prompts as you dial in. One prompt is to join the conversation, and the other prompt is just to listen in. So thank you for just listening in then, okay? And now, Sean, now as we going further in this conversation, man, what tools are we developing and that we are using, man, to kind of draw our young men away from that kind of lifestyle, that kind of mindset?
Well, down here, Dr. White of the WNACP, he's having a drive. He's having a buy guns back drive in October. And, Bro Joe, it was so powerful the last time because, see, those 800 guns that they received that last time, it would never harm anyone. And so that's the kind of thing we have to do with these programs to help drive, you know, drive that, the guns out, because as long as the NRA feel that it's okay to, you know, to have these guns and put them out, because like back in the day, one day it was in the South Central, you had the train to come with nothing but guns to be put out there for the Crips and the Blood. So that's a problem, too, because people want to see us kill off each other. And sometimes, Brother Joe, we are our worst enemy.
Yes, we are. And that is so true. That is so true.
Yeah. And so what I do with the young kid, I try to get to them by telling them my story to help them not end up like I did, to have to pay the piper. Because it's very hard to pay the piper.
And you know what? As you were saying, and they don't realize that it is hard. And that's the thing that you have to, that be plaguing you the rest of your life. You know, I'm involved in a mentoring program here, and we teach young men's computer skills. And I was telling them, hey, you have to be make yourself valuable in society, man, because when people tell you that you can't do it, you have to believe in yourself. Sometimes,
yeah,
you know, we wrestle with jobs right now. Sometimes you have to hire yourself. And you know,
yes,
how
you
difficult
do.
It is after you've been incarcerated for a man to come out. And that's what strikes against you. They want to know, hey, you know, and we don't realize that once we go to jail, you know, they come out, they say, hey, you're a felon. Oh, first thing that strikes you out of a job, you know, keep you from potential jobs right there.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And see, you have, like you say, you have to believe in yourself. And the way you want to change that, you have to change your environment and start trying to do something different to show. Because, see, once you come out, you got to show yourself. And that's the thing about it. And then sometimes you get discouraged and distracted about that. And so, you know, like I go back to say, a man without a future resumes return to his past. And then that's when it all starts all over again, because you didn't look far enough into your future to try to have one.
And you're so right. And you know what? Not only our future, but we should be able to share to life of young men's, brother, to other people, say, hey, you ain't got to live like that. I've made some mistakes, but you don't have to make that same mistake. You know, sometimes, you know, it was the time to say, well, I'm going to let them do their own thing. They got to learn for themselves. Yeah, they do, but they don't have to. If you could just share,
right,
you know, shine some light on it, brother. You know, you ain't got to be out there stealing and hustling. That thing going to come to an end.
It's going to come to an end fast, because, see, that, because the next man want what you have, too, because, see, sometimes he's not going to work for that. He's going to work your life for that.
Yeah.
And then that's another life gone again.
You know, man, it goes way back to, along with it being civilization, man, because me and my grandson, we watch Westerns from time to time, whatever weird time, you know, just TV. And in a Western, the outlaw always turn on some of his gang members, you know. I said, see, man, you see what happened? You running with gangsters, they going to turn on you.
Didn't the mob do it? And they don't kill all these people. And like I say, and when the government gets you, you see what happens. It plays out just like that, sir. And so that's what I think that's what they really don't know, how serious it is when they're out there doing what they're doing.
Yeah, they don't know, because they know people will turn on you, and you all out there by yourself. They'll throw you in there. They'll just, you know, they'll just lie on you or tell the truth or whatever they take to get them out of hot water, you know.
Yeah, you know,
state evidence.
Yeah, and see, when you can't go outside to play a pickup game and you got to be ducking bullets, you know it's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is so sad, man. And that's why we want to address these here issues, man, help stop the violence. And, Sean, I am so pleased at what you're doing and where you are in Atlanta, man, how you're making a difference. If you're just doing the thing that a man's supposed to do, because we know that that the character of a man can't be measured in his money or his resources, but in how he conducts himself with his fellow man. And as you stand up and being a man in the midst of all that craziness, you know, in the Bible it says that Noah found favor in the sight of God, because he stood up in a perverse and a wicked generation, man, and that's what God is calling for.
Yes.
In regards to the drugs and the guns and stuff, he's looking for men to stand up, and the other men see you and they say, man, I want to be a part of that. If Sean can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, and that's what they, you know, when they, like I say on my video, a lot of them be waiting when you come back to see it, are you that same person? You know, they're going to be waiting to see if you that same person. So when they kept seeing, okay, now 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, and it's up to 15 years now, Bro Joe. It's up to 15 years. So now I guess it took that long for them to see that, no, that ain't who it used to be, because they want to see if you really change.
Yeah. It's so right. So now tell us about your video before we let you out of here, brother. Where can we pick it up at? And I remember you shared with me before, but share with our listening audience.
Yeah, you can pick it up. Back to the block, you can pick it up. It's Mr. B, the letter B, the number 2, the letter D, B, at YouTube. It's on YouTube. That's Back to the Block.
Repeat that for me again, sir.
That's Back to the Block. You go to YouTube, Mr., the letter B, the number 2, the letter D, B. That's Mr. Back to the Block.
All right, I got that right there, man. And you know what? I done seen that video, and I enjoy looking at it. I enjoy sharing it, man. And you keep doing what you're doing because it's making a difference, brother. We
I know what you're doing in Dallas. Yeah, I have to give back for what I have taken away too, sir. So that's what I'm trying to do.
And, you know, and that's what our little slogan says on that, help change a life. Because we done a whole lot of things to tear our life down, but we should be able to help change a life. And we can't do that apart from being united with groups and ministries and people like you, man, because same thing you're trying to do in Atlanta, we're doing here in Dallas, man. You know what I'm saying? We all are
together.
In this together, brother. We all
yes,
are in
sir.
This together, man, to help change a life. But we never know. We never know. We can have the next senator, the next governor in our midst, man, because we share it with her. If only one person listen, man, it's worth the effort, brother.
Yes, it is.
Now, Sheriff, before we get out of here, man, we want to thank you, brother. You know, you're always welcome to be on this program, man. You're always welcome. And we're looking forward to having you come back again.
It's always an honor to be on it, Brother Joe, because that's what we're doing, trying to save somebody's life and change their life.
So true, so true. Hey, thank you very much, brother. We're going to be talking with you later on, okay?
Okay, God bless y'all.
God bless you.
All right.
Oh, what a great interview
right.
we had, that was Brother Sean.
Yeah. Peace.
What a great interview we had. Peace. Hey, man. Now, Brother Daddy, what do you think about that interview, brother?
Yeah, man, it was awesome, man. It was awesome and real graphic, man.
Yeah,
you know,
it was,
we need
man.
Real live stories, man. But then when we need a lot of brothers telling you, man, about how God changes. You know, God can change anybody, man.
Yes, he can.
I believe,
we got the phone man.
Really
lit
believe,
up, man.
You know, you got to be a real diabolical person for God not to change you, man. You know, so I put it like this, man. Just think of all these bad leaders back in World War II, man, the way that our evil and our bad stuff they did. But still, that was hope for them. But they had to hung around a long time and ask God for forgiveness. You know?
Yeah, you're so right. Hey, man, we got another guest that's going to come up here in a few minutes, man. This brother's out of Miami, Florida, and they also working with troubled youth down there. So we are in for a great time this morning, man. And we are intended to help change a life in this ministry, man, with what we're doing. We want to thank you, Brother Daniel, for your poignant question that you asked our guests, man, because those are some things that need to be said, man, because we realize that our young people, man, they facing a lot of things, man. They could just get on the Internet. You take them with that plan, they could be ordering a gun. You know, what you doing? Oh, I'm on the Internet. And they that smart. I'm going to say they that smart, man.
When we growing up, man, well, we didn't know nothing about no guns when we were growing up, man. If the old cats had them, they kept them hid from us, man, you know.
Yeah.
But somewhere around about in the early 80s, man, I think somebody made a big raid on the pawn shops around in Dallas-Fort Worth, man, and also, we know, man, the neighborhood was just flooded with guns, man, all kinds of guns, man, Uzis and Glocks and, you know. And I said, man, I never seen any kind of, you know, weapons like that, man, you know, because they shoot so fast. And basically, man, one while they had the police afraid to mess with them, man, because they couldn't have too much firepower. You know, and basically they kind of ran the neighborhoods for about a year or 2 years, and all of a sudden I think somebody said, man, if you can't beat them, we're going to have to join them. So they went out and bought the same kind of weapons, man, they had. But, you know, if you look at it like that, man, you know, in other cities that I've been reading about and looking out on TV that maybe just these guns are coming from somebody, man, and then you keep talking about people want to try to get away with these guns and stop people from doing crazy things with them, man, but they're right out there for them to get.
You're so right. You're so right.
Hey,
hey Brother Daniel.
You saw that guy on TV the other day, didn't you?
Did
you see
that
guy on TV the other day?
No.
Took the gun off in the McDonald's?
Oh, yeah, man, and it jammed on him, man.
It jammed on him, yeah, and that was nothing but an act of God that saved those people inside that McDonald's. And then he went outside and the gun shot.
Yeah. And then he came back in. He didn't want to leave well enough alone, brother. That's crazy. Brother Daniel,
damn,
we got our
man.
Next guest
you know,
coming up here. Just keep talking and we're going to bring
you,
him
man.
In.
He was supposed to be knocked out. you remember like what is that? We're going to talk about this movie now. You know, they say, man, he got knocked out. He should have been knocked out, man. And, yeah, that's the only way to do somebody like that. You got to get something, knock them out, hit them in the head and knock them out, man. You don't play
You don't play
with those kind of spirits like that, Deacon Lewis. When you get them subdued, you got to knock them and basically put them on. And what does the Bible tell you? When somebody come in your house, you got to bind the strong man.
You're so right. Hey, Brother Daniel, hold on, man. We got a guest on the line here, okay? Good morning. You on the net?
Oh, thank you. God bless you. This is Ansel. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning, there, Brother Higgs, man. Welcome to our program, man. Free on the inside. And today our topic is let's stop the violence. And we know that you're trying to make a difference in the life of our young men. Tell us where you are and what you're up to.
Well, I'm in Miami, Florida right now, and we seem to be experiencing this epidemic. So I've been talking to some people and trying to get some viewpoints and an understanding from the community as to which directions we can go in, and more so, what may have been the problem that got us to this point of this we seem to have this generation of people who don't really care about the value of life or the value systems that were set up through Christ or God or whatever values their parents have passed down and the principles and things that they should live up to. And they just, the morals and tenets, and they just seem to have, they seem to not care about upholding those things as it has to do with other people. You understand? So
right,
I understand. Yeah, so some of the things that they're trying to do is, I've heard of some things like, and I've heard some things, Deacon Lewis, that say, back there were some products that were given to those less fortunate, right? Some people call it at risk or whatever. You know, they may have come from places where, let's say, inner city, where there's, you know, drug epidemic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and their mothers or parents may have been, you know, involved in some things and gave them a lower standard of quality of goods and products that may have clinically altered some things within their physiology. Okay. And now some people are trying to look back on what products they had intake, what they intook, how the environment was set up around them, what things influenced them to have this nonsense of worth for other humans or their products and their lives.
And you know that is so true, because a couple of weeks ago we had a guest on here that was talking about having a community garden, where they're talking about how community garden, you can control the amount of pesticides and things that's on our vegetables, man, that makes a difference, because as we grow up, we don't know how these things affect us. I think so much of the Similac milk with iron. Now you got all these kids in the eighth grade, they looking like Shaquille O'Neal. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They got a great physique, but their mind is mentally is underdeveloped.
And see, therein is exactly what I'm speaking in terms of. You have this genetic value. Okay, we can stimulate your growth at the point, like say steroids per se, which deteriorate other things within you that make you, dare I say, normal as far as intellect and reasoning is concerned. Okay, I think they're at a point where their reasoning just is not lining up. So what the communities here are doing are, they're trying to have a lot more awareness. We had a couple of incidents here recently over the past couple of months. Teens rode by someone's house and shot in. The woman's plaiting the other girl's hair and the little kid's hair and killed them both. It was needless, okay? And so it's one of those things where you have to question, why don't they value life to a biblical extent, okay?
And that is so true. That is so true. Because our young people, and I'll share with our last guest, man, they tend to they have lost their identity and they tend to not have a future. I talk to young men monthly, and they just don't have a future. I ask them all the time, "What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to be? I don't know. What do you like doing? I don't know." I said, "You know your hobby and the things that you take pleasure in it could be your career if it's worthwhile and noble. You know, you can't make a career out of being a gangster."
Mm-hmm.
But if you like playing video games, why don't you design a video game? If you like being an athlete, you don't have to play the ball, but you can be a physician for the athletes. The man that keeps Kobe on the court, he gets as much money, even more, because he got several payos. Not only Kobe, you know, you've been a physician, man. You just sit down, you know, giving these guys therapy, man. Your career lasts a lot longer than Kobe. You know, you've been doing it 30 years. Kobe only going to do it for 12.
And he's going to do it, and his body's going to deteriorate from that, you know, later. But it reminds me of like one of your favorite verses, you know, hope is the things, you know, faith unseen. And they seem not to have this hope that the hope is not getting to them on some level. You know what I mean? They don't see it, or they don't feel it, or there's something blocking their ability to have hope in themselves and their communities and those around them and their families and to express more love and forgiveness. I think there's a real problem with them with this forgiveness thing. Whenever you do something to one of them, they take it to a personal level, whereas, I can't, both of us can't no longer live on this planet. You understand? And then they
want to take you out.
Right. And just for, like, nonsense. And sometimes I have to question, Why has a generation learned not to value life to an extent? I mean, what has gone on? And it could be so, and I hate to say product thing, but, you know, when you live out the Agent Orange here and the things, the chemicals there and everything, you can't just dismiss it under the rug. You know, there may be something relevant, like you say, I heard it, something like infamil or, you know, similar like that, that those products may have been not up to today's quality and standards on all levels. You see what I'm saying? Or future
right,
standards and levels. So,
and I believe
so,
that too.
And so now but for a generation, that was what it was available to those in certain genres, you know, in certain situations, and that is what they exposed their children to. And now it may be that there may be some type of physiological damages that have occurred as a result of that. In the city here, what they're doing is they're trying to get the government municipalities more involved in what the community churches and things are doing. In the city there today, they're having this big they're calling it a community breakfast, and it's funded by an arm of the county municipalities, you know, the ambulatory services, et cetera, the emergency service, EMS, and it's going to be right there, right on 62nd Street, right there in the heart of Liberty City, Miami, 62nd Street and 29th Avenue. And it's one of those things where we don't have to just stay trying to – you see how it was in Dallas with us? The city would give us things and we'd go around and fixing up people's places and things like that, right?
Oh, yeah, with Habitat, yes. That was a great program. Yes, I remember that so well.
Yeah, so now they're trying to reach out and have community breakfasts and things like that to where in places where people from all from other places can get to really easily. It's right next to the Metro Rail, you know. So I think it's important, though, to tap into the community resources. Now, you know, a lot of these little place things, they have their monthly or their yearly budget. But there's always, when you see them trying to give to the community, those are, I think, little things that if they happened on a more ready or an ongoing or a more powerful basis, that I think it would begin to bring hope to the city and the community. So that because we have to kind of change their thing. We have to find a way to instill in them that there is hope for a future, especially we all know in Christ Jesus. You know, first of all, get saved, okay? The first and foremost, all right? And then hope, and then try to build and work within your community, okay?
And you know, and that is so true. That is so true. Because you know, we can't do anything apart from God. Our slogan for this program is said, "Help change a life." We can't do anything without having God on our side. And we need to let our young people, as you were saying earlier, man. And I use the Bible to share with our young men. I talk about how people in the Bible had a shady character, how some of them didn't start out
right,
but God was able to change their life. And as you were talking about that, I was talking about sharing with a young man about a man named Enoch in the Bible. It said Enoch had a life before God, but he had a greater life after God, man. I said, hey, you done some things, and you done lived a life, but can you imagine if you was to change your life and you was to have a future, you'd go to school, and you'd educate yourself and train yourself, your life could be greater than where you the previous life, you know, with death and destruction. Now you can be life and have it more mm-hmm. abundantly. And, you know, brother, here, I like what y'all are doing there, man, because I think the community ought to be involved in this, not only the churches, but the community, to make a difference in the life of people, man, because that's what it is. That's the heart of a community. It's the church, man, and the church is the community.
That's it.
You can't separate them.
No. Because that's what it's about. It's about, that's how the church is started, community work, interaction of people for the greater good in the name of Jesus. That's basically, you know what I mean? You know, involving people, you know, the whole Stephen thing. Hey, let's help those over there, too. Let's help these here, you know, and support each other in the name of Christ Jesus.
Hey, man, we're about ready to get out of here, man, but give us some things that y'all are doing on your end, man, to make a difference in your community and the life of our young men and women.
Okay, well, they're considering a couple of projects here. One is where, you know how you have your normal summer team programs or work or whatever, that they would do something like that almost year-round, but the kids would not get, like, a monetary stipend. What they would get is they would be able to go shopping and get their school clothes and get all their materials they need for schools. They'll have giveaways of little computers and everything so that they don't have to feel like they have to rob and steal or mama has to pay for everything, you know what I mean? And that'll free up money for mama to do other things, too. And then there's another discussing point about going back into the research that's being done, like you say now, with the products that may have tainted those that are now, so that that doesn't happen in the future, so that we can begin to change and instill hope now in hopes that there will be hope in the future, because that will be a mindset of all.
Yeah, you know what, nutrition, that's great. A point there, because our next guest we're going to talk about a health fair in South Dallas, and that nutrition and health, man, it makes it, and that's the heart of a community right there, man, because if you don't have good health, man, good nutrition, it tears down the community and it allows you to do things outside of character. And so I think you're really hitting on something there. Brother Higgs, man, this has been a great conversation, man. I'm going to have to end it here. Man, but thank you, brother, for sharing what you're doing. Again, tell us where you're located and the group you're with.
I'm in Miami, Florida right now, and now I'm just working with a group of churches or community situations. You know, as a minister, you kind of put your hands in a lot of different things. So,
hey, that's
so
all right, then.
And you'd be supportive of all.
Yes, that's a great job. Keep doing what you're doing, and you know you can always go back and listen to this show at a later date, okay? And as always, we want you to be a guest on the program, man. God, we love what you're doing, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep us up
with
what's happening in Florida, okay?
Okay, I will. Glory be to God and to all your listeners.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you.
Oh, man, what a great interview we had there. Brother Daniel.
Okay.
All right.
How you doing today? You all right? It was a nice show.
Yeah, I'm guessing off the line now. So we got our next guest that's coming up here during the day, and you might want to ask them some questions. I just want to sit back and relax. This is about that. Huh? Yes, sir. We got our next guest that's coming. We got another one coming up, and they're going to talk about the health fair that's coming up. We're going to be on just going to be an hour today. But everything is running real quick today, so we're doing good. The next guest is going to come up in a few minutes there, and just going to tell us what's going on in the program they have available, and we're going to be excited about it. But just kick back and relax now. We're on our way back to Dallas, man. We finna fly. We finna land, okay? We've been in Atlanta. All we've right. been to Miami. Now we're going back to Dallas. We're going to land in Dallas.
Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Christy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our program, and thank you for being a guest on Free on the Inside. And I'm very excited about what you're doing. We have Raul on the line also. But we're excited about what you are doing and what your program and your ministry is doing. Will you introduce yourself and tell us what event is coming up?
Yes, absolutely. My name is Kristen Suters. We are Beat the Streets Outreach, and we are so excited for our health fair coming up this Sunday. We're going to be providing basic vitals and, you know, basic medical information for the least fortunate of our community. It's going to be from 12:30 until 3:30 on Sunday. And we've got some great things to hand out, some little hygiene bags, along with some information for local resources in the area. So once they find out kind of just the basics of what's going on, then they'll definitely have some places to reach out to get follow-up on those things.
Oh, but this is great. You know what? I'm excited about it because when I met you before and you had told me about you, you know, the health fair and what you was attempting to do, and I was excited about it. I was excited about it. Now, Kristen, as you bring forth this program, how many different people you got in your that's going to be a part of this here? What you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're looking at anywhere between 35 and 45 volunteers total. As far as our medical team, probably going to be at about 25 people. So we're going to be able to have 10 strong stations there so that we can help as many people as possible while we're there, for sure.
Great. I'm looking at your flyer right here now. You're just touching base on what you had just mentioned. Said it included toothbrushes, toothpaste. That's your hygiene kits there. But the
right
sign, you know, what are you able to check at a setting like this?
Well, what's going to happen is, excuse me, we're going to be doing taking people's temperatures, their heart rates, also blood sugar. Really important to be able to check that and give people an idea of what they need to be looking out for, and you know, little ways that they can be helped in just changing little things. So that's what we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds great. We have Raul on the line here. We're gonna bring him in, Brother Raul.
Okay.
Yes, Joel. Hi, Kristen.
Hey,
hi. Good morning, Joel. Or, I'm sorry. Good morning, Raul.
Raul is he heads up the Bread of Life Ministry in South Dallas. Raul, tell us what a blessing it is to have Beat the Street to come over and be a part of what you're doing tomorrow.
Oh, we are so excited, Joel. Yeah, to be able to have Kristen and her team coming down to South Dallas and be a blessing for the community and for all the people. We are so excited. We know that that's the purpose of God, that we all work together for His kingdom. And tomorrow, wow, we're going to be seeing the blessings of God. Yes, sir. We're
Amen.
So excited.
Yes, and that is so true. That is so true. You know, and as you put together a program like this, Raul, tell us the great need it is for something like this, because as you see people just that you meet on a weekly basis, and they come up and they want prayer and they have different ailments. Tell us how important it is to have a Christian team to come down and do some of the things they're going to do.
Well, it's very important, brother. Even Jesus said in the Bible, if you are sick, you seek the doctor, right? You visit the doctor. So tomorrow, we've been telling the people that if you need to check your body, high blood pressure, we have seen many people that we've been praying for. And tomorrow, well, we have the professionals, doctors that the Lord also uses to bless His people. We expect to have many people coming from the shelters and also people from the community, brother. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, yes, there you go. Now, Kristen, now your organization has been doing this for quite a while. Give us a little history on it before we let you go so people can know that you're serious about what you're doing.
Absolutely, sure. It started about 3 years ago with a group of friends. We saw the need, and we were blessed to have resources to be able to go out into the community and do exactly just what Pastor Raul was talking about a second ago, and really helping those that we're called to do. And so that's how it started. And we do the health fair is just one part of what our organization does on an annual basis, and we also help the children when it comes to school supplies, getting prepared with what they need for the year. We also do hot plates, whether it be out in Dallas or even out on the Fort Worth side. But really, you know, our mission and our creed is just to show God's love and to love on people, and that's what we're called to do. We're blessed to be a blessing, and we're just trying to be obedient.
Oh, that's great.
And we're always looking for more people to help. Always.
You know what? I know that I have a sense that God is going to continue to add to y'all. Raul, did you have something to say?
Sir, yes, I just want to say to everybody, it's welcome tomorrow. We are located at Harwood and Cooper. just on the side of Highway 175. We have church open for everybody. Our church is outdoor church, under the trees, so you are welcome. And we also, after the health fair, we want to have good Chinese food. We have a buffet, and we want to have the Word of God, too. So everybody is welcome, and you are invited. Come on and be there. If you know somebody, tell them. Tell them to come and be there tomorrow, 12:30. Team and Beat the Streets Ministries and all the team working together for the kingdom of God. We're so excited. Okay. Hope to see you there.
All right. Thank you. Now, Christian, before I let you go, give us some contact numbers. I'm looking at your flyer here, but I would like for you to just tell us how, if someone wants to just follow what you're doing on the Internet, give us some a website that we can go to.
Absolutely. You can go to Facebook.com and go to our page. It is Beat the Streets Outreach. We also have, for anyone who is who's looking to come out tomorrow and they just help out with tomorrow's event and for future events, I can give a phone number out here if that's okay. Is that fine?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you could call 972-603-8581. Again, we're always looking for volunteers. Again, that number is 972-603-8581. And of course, please hit us up on Facebook, like our page. We'll keep you posted on all of our new events so that everyone has an opportunity to come along and help if they like.
All right, that's great. Chris, before we let you go, we got a call on the line that just might want to ask you a question here, and we're going to get him opportunity. Brother Daniel, you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we'd like to ask Chris a question regarding our event.
I'd like to hear Brother Raul talk. That's what I want.
Well, okay. All right, then. Well, I tell you what, then. We're gonna allow you to talk to Brother Raul then. Hey, Kristen, thank you very much for what you're doing. Okay?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely. Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the health fair.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. We appreciate you being able to let us get the word out like this. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it.
Always, always. And you know, our line is always open to you. So if anything we can ever do for you, just let us know, okay?
Amen, brother. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. See you soon.
All right. Sounds great there. Brother Raul.
Yes, sir.
I think we have someone on the line that want to talk to you. Hello, Brother Daniel.
Hey. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, Raul? Hey, man. We've been
good, brother.
We're looking for you, man. We got some stuff for you, man. We got some stuff for you to give to people, man. You know, we've been waiting. We had a guy that came by there, man. You know, he said he didn't have a big enough truck to come pick all the stuff up. So I'm sending it all out to you now. We got plenty of clothes and stuff for the people to have. Jars for you to give to people on Sunday evenings, man. All you have to do is find somebody to. Right now, I guess we can ask somebody on the radio, on the internet there to help brother out around a little. You know?
Shoot.
Because we're trying to help the people from the street because, you know, it's getting ready to be winter time. And, you know, they need stuff like clothes and you know, some of them need food, you know, but basically they need something to keep warm.
Right.
Coats, sweaters.
We'll talk about that offline here, okay? And I'll give you that number to Raul and y'all can make some kind of arrangements, okay? But again, we definitely need help to get stuff over to our street ministry. And we're looking forward to what you're doing. And thank you for your desire to help out that part of the ministry.
All right. Okay.
Now, Brother Raul, tomorrow, we're going to have a great time tomorrow. You know, give us the time that this program is going to go on tomorrow. And then after the end, about the other ministry that's going to come over and share the word. What time can we start tomorrow?
Right, so we start tomorrow at 12:30 with Precinct and Beat the Streets Outreach with the health fair. And then they're going to be from 12:30 to 3:30, something like that, depending on the response of the people that we're praying that many people come and be blessed. And then after the 3:30, around 3:30, we start our normal service. We have the Korean church from Irving coming to do ministry. They're going to be preaching the word of God, bringing praising, music, and buffet Chinese food. So come on, if you like Chinese food, be blessed and enjoy it.
You're so right. You're so right. Right. Well, thank you very much for coming, being aboard this morning. And we're going to have a great time in the Lord. And I'm looking forward to seeing you this evening, okay?
Sure. See you, Joe. I'll talk to you later. Thank you. God bless you,
everybody.
All right.
God bless you. Thank you. Oh, what a great interview that we had there with Brother Raul. Brother Daniel, thank you, man. What a great interview we had there.
Yeah. Say, I got a poem today for you. Got time for a poem?
Oh, yes, sir. We sure do.
Okay. The name of this poem is The Wonder. There you are on the other side of the wonder. You look sad and scared, wondering where your son is about to go. You tell me you miss me, and that's you want me home. Then you smile and tell me how much my little brother has grown. We watch up on lost time. We catch up on lost time as fast as we can, because we both know we probably never see each other again. You start crying, and I can see that deep inside you're dying. You're blaming yourself for not being the best mom. And I tell you that it was my choice to do wrong. It hurts me to see you blaming yourself, because I know that deep inside you wish you could help. Because you already have one son gone, and you're about to lose another one. The only thing you want right now are two of your oldest children back with their little brother, at home with their loving mother. It's about time for you to go. We sit in silence, wishing that we're on the same side of the wonder, that we could hug for one last time before I get sent away for my crime. You put your hand on the wind, on the glass, and I start to cry. I've hurt so many people, and this is the last, because it's not worth watching my life, whole life, go behind the wonder.
Oh, that's beautiful, that brother. What a great poem, man.
That's the way it is, man. When you go visit, you know, you go visit somebody behind bars, man, what you look through? A piece of wonder glass, right?
Yeah, you're so right, man. That is great, though, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Can't touch him, can't touch nobody. All you do is just look at him.
Yeah,
thank you,
Brother Daniel. What a great show we had today, brother. Stop the Violence.
Yeah.
Man, we had went to Atlanta, we went to Miami, and now we're back in Dallas. Man, the same thing that's plaguing my brothers and sisters in Atlanta, in Miami, Florida, in Dallas, it's the same thing, man. It's holding each one of us hostage.
Really, the same spirits are in different areas, Jody. That's what it is. It's a spirit for every principality that known to man. It's one for gambling. It's one for drugs. It's one for murder. It's a murdering demon somewhere.
What do you think about our health fair that's coming up, brother?
Oh man, it's wonderful, man. It's neat to it's a demon too, a sickness. An illness is what makes people, and we need to try to stop this. Stop it, man. Because with all this money we got.
As I do the ministry, man, if people saying pray for me, I got a headache, upset stomach, I got bad feet, or whatever it may be, I pray for them. I say, hey, you need to find a physician. You need to get, and I hate that we didn't get in time with that, because she said they have people that they're going to refer physicians, people to go to doctors and stuff, man. So, Ricky, this is a worthwhile event here, man. This is something that you could use at your own church in your own setting, man. When y'all put together a program, man, you can get other people to come out there. This don't cost nothing, man. All you got to do is make yourself available, man, to say, hey, we'd like you to come on over, man. I'm telling you, man, they're willing to come over and support what you're doing. So we need to be able to tap in on resources like that. Because
Amen.
Jesus told people, hey, I'm praying for you, but now go show yourself to the priest. And he was a local physician. The priest used to put anoint you with oil and anoint this and that on. But now I done prayed for you. Now you go to the physician and see what he had to say.
Fine.
You know what I'm saying? I can pray for you. Now you go to the doctor for that high blood pressure.
But you know back in the Mosaic days, they had leprosy, man. They had to go to the priest for him to finalize, see if you were clean or unclean.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so what we have to do is go in with believers, man. We pray for somebody, but we send them to a physician. And guess what? That's power in position, man, because God holds all power in his hand. Brother Daniel, we're getting ready to get out of here, brother. We're getting ready to get out of here, man. And thank you very much for your support, man. Thank you for the poem, man. And looking forward to having you to be a get all here next week. And we're going to have another great time in the Lord, okay?
Yeah,
let's
amen.
Stop the violence.
Amen.
Let's stop the violence.
Stop the violence. You can't use no violence, man, you know. No violence.
You're so right. We're getting ready to get on out of here.
We want to be free on this. Especially for you.